I want to talk about NAFTA, and there's nobody better to talk about than Mark Warner, international trade lawyer. Mark, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So what's going on? I mean, I look at it and I go, I've never seen a negotiation which seems to be played in front of the spotlights and cameras versus behind closed doors. What's your take overall on how this thing's unfolding?
Well, it's, you know, trade negotiations used to be done behind closed doors, and then there was a lot of pressure starting about, I don't know, almost about 20 years ago for more transparency. And now we have kind of, in some ways, from my perspective as a trade practitioner, the worst of both worlds. We have governments that do a lot of active leaking. I would say that's the Canadian government strategy. And then we've got the American government where you've got Donald Trump tweeting. So you've got the tweeter-in-chief on the one side and the leaker-in-chief on the other. And that's kind of how the public diplomacy is playing out in NAFTA, which is perhaps something a bit different. But let's be very clear, it's being done on both sides.
But when you take that and you start doing that, emotion plays. I mean, math and logic and sound arguments and give and take, give away to, well, you said this, I said that. You're painting me in a corner, so I'm going to paint you in a corner. Is that just someone like me that's really not an expert in international trade, or is that something you see unfolding?
Well, there's always theatrics in trade. I mean, there always had situations where people would push the chair back from the table and say something threatening. The difference here, I guess, is that Trump has been saying things, you know, that are pretty mean about Canada for a while, about lots of other people as well. And I guess 1 year out from the election, with, you know, the fact that the polls would indicate that Canadians don't like Trump very much, Justin Trudeau has chosen to respond in kind, or, you know, in a sort of a slightly passive-aggressive way. But certainly I think within Washington and within the Trump circle, he's being seen to be reacting forcefully. And so, look, we're the smaller of the two guys. You know, people can say Trump's a bully, a trade bully, but I think a lot of other countries, whether it's China or Europe, have sort of figured it out that you're not going to win a war against a trade war with the largest economy of the world. You've got to figure out one or two issues to give him to push him on to the next issue so he deals with somebody else. And I think so far, at least, what it looks like is our government, at least in the public area, seems to be digging in, you know, red lines and poison pills. And I think this week they seem to toss the new issue on the table of culture, which is always a red-blooded issue in Canada, as you know. They don't seem to be trying to narrow the issues, which is, I guess, what seems very strange at this point. You'd think if there is a priority in trying to get this done very quickly, as it is a priority for the Mexicans and for Trump, I would have thought we'd be trying to narrow issues rather than to expand them at this time. So that seems a bit strange.
My cynical feeling towards this government we have is that the things they're drawing red lines have already been negotiated and agreed upon so that they can come back out of this and say, look, this is the stuff we said was important, we got, but the big issues we should be worried about are the ones we're giving away to get these little wins.
Well, we're giving some things away, but I do think that the way that they're digging in on what's called Chapter 19, the trade remedy review system, the anti-dumping, the sort of sets up binational panels review findings by administrative agencies of anti-dumping or countervailing duties, that's one that I think the Americans really fundamentally believe in, particularly the people who are negotiating for the United States this time round. So I don't really understand the extent to which they're digging in on that one. I mean, there's a lot of pride of authorship here when you read in the papers. There are lots of former this and that, you know, ancient this and that negotiators who were part of getting us Chapter 19 30 years ago in a very different world with very different institutions and remedies. And those folks are sort of egging the government on, saying that you can't give up the greatest thing I ever achieved in my life 30 years ago, even though the world fundamentally changed. But that's a bit of a mystery to me there. On culture, I think you're right. I think they're throwing culture up so that they can declare, if they do get to an agreement, that we saved all of our Canadian culture programs. And by the way, we gave away what the Americans were asking for in intellectual property and on dairy, but, you know, you'll be free to watch Degrassi when it starts up again.
That could be the quote of the year. Now, Mark, if we had politicians out of the way, if this was private sector, do you not think this would be a very different road? Because I'm worried that the midterms in the United States and Trudeau looking over his back, although I don't know how Scheer is even in, you know, lost his voice in this thing. But do you think that self-serving, self-interest are going to make some horrible decisions because they all want to go? They want to go back to constituents and say, "See what I did? I got everything I was asking for."
Yeah, that's the part I can't figure out. I mean, I think that the private sector in Canada is a bit conflicted. I mean, the one thing everyone hates is uncertainty, so we'd like to have a deal. But there are an awful lot of people in the private sector, obviously the dairy interests, who are heavily regulated in Canada, and so they're kind of egging the government on. But, I mean, I think we're just talking to business people, and they sort of look at it and say, you've got this Chapter 19 thing you're arguing about, and some of these very fine intellectual property arguments, but the guy's threatening 25% tariffs on our major industry, which is autos. And we cannot survive that. That will be catastrophic to the Ontario economy and to the Canadian economy. So if it means giving him something that he wants to get that off the table, do it. I think that, frankly, would be how most, small business people would look at it. And obviously bigger players who are integrated across the border, more politically connected, they might actually not say that publicly. But I think, the idea that we would give up all of NAFTA for, you know, in order to look strong and tough and then face a 25% auto tariff just strikes me as nuts.
Mark, I appreciate Mark Warner, international trade lawyer. I wish you were on our team because I think we are outmatched in this deal. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me on.